right after the racist murder of 9 African Americans in Charleston, South Carolina, Professor Anthea Butler published a powerful commentary on language and justice in the Washington Post. The piece was headlined, "Shooters of Color Are Called Terrorists and Thugs. Why Are White Shooters Called Mentally Ill?" It prompted me to invite Dr. Butler to be with us again on State of Belief Radio. Anthea, I really appreciate you saying yes and being with us today.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You write about how Charleston made racist media coverage around mass shootings fall apart. What do you mean by that?
Well, I admit that it would be very hard to just say that someone who came into a black church and shot and killed 9 people after sitting with them in a Bible study was mentally ill. I mean, he had a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just had been seeing all these things roll out time and time again after mass shootings, and white shooters were called mentally ill, you know, shooters of color were terrorists. It just really stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about this when reports had started coming out late Wednesday night and early Thursday morning, and I thought, this is the problem.
I guess the two questions that I have related to that is, how conscious do you think this distinction is, or is part of it an unconscious racism?
Oh, I think it's both conscious and unconscious racism, and let me explain. I mean, I think for some media outlets, this is just the language. Everybody starts thinking about, well, what could have happened? Was he mentally ill? Was he sick? Was he this? Was he that? But you just see this sort of disposition to immediately go to the word thug or terrorist, mm-hmm. if it's, you know, something that happens with a Muslim extremist, or what has been happening lately with people being arrested for trying to join ISIS or incite something, they're immediately terrorists. I knew that this narrative was going to start to happen, and I saw it rolling out in real time on Twitter with some of the media people, and it troubled me. And the part that I think is overt is, and I'll be blunt about this because I think this is really important in this discussion, is to talk about outlets like Fox Media and others that mm-hmm. continue to sort of have a certain kind of drumbeat about people of color and Muslims. Mm-hmm. Vis-a-vis white people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear, and it's very racist. And I think that we have tried to pretend to have a very polite society about these things,
mm-hmm.
but it's just time to make this really plain
mm-hmm.
and to say, why are we doing this? And let's ask this question directly.
Would you talk specifically about the effects of the differences in coverage that you identify in your article?
Immediately, the kinds of things that started happening was, we don't know his motive. Even Jeb Bush said this. Jeb
yes.
Bush said on Thursday, we don't know his motives. After everybody talking about Emmanuel AME as a historic black church, you know, he shot someone who was in the state Senate. We don't know what his motive is. Well, he didn't walk into a white church.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't walk into Burger King. Or they got him some food at Burger King. He didn't walk into there. There's all these other places he could have gone if he was just a random, I feel crazy kind of person, I need to shoot people up. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there was this other narrative that happened. It's not related to the terrorist narrative, but I think it's really important to bring up, that happened on Fox News, and they had Alveda King on. And basically it was the narrative of, this wasn't a racialized shooting. It was about persecution of Christians. And there's nothing that has come out in Dylann Roof's manifesto or anything that he's written that this was about Christianity. It's been pure and simple about hatred of black people.
Mm-hmm.
So these narratives that get constructed in the media immediately after shootings that are perpetrated by white shooters are narratives that are designed to shuffle blame onto something else. The mentally ill thing gets used not just for race, but it also gets used for guns. So that you can mm-hmm. say, that's a mentally ill person with a gun. You know, we don't have to have gun control because not everybody's mentally ill.
Mm-hmm. What kind of response have you got? Have people been understanding, or have they been trying to refute what you said?
There have been a lot of people who've been understanding. The bad part is the people who want to argue with me on Twitter or emailing me saying, this is not true, and I'm a race baiter, and I'm dividing the races because I'm talking about race. And I always say back to these people, this is my job. I teach race. I teach history of American religion and African-American religious history. You can't teach those histories without talking about racism in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people who push back on me are people who believe we shouldn't, A, talk about race, and B, that it's racist to talk about race, mm-hmm. and C, they're uncomfortable mm-hmm. because it's true.
There's been a surprising amount of discussion about getting rid of symbols of our racist past in Charleston and elsewhere. I'm interested in how you see that. Do you see those as a positive sign or as more of a distraction from addressing deeper issues related to race?
I think both. I mean, I think it's a positive sign. What I'm very sad about is that it took the deaths of nine people and Emmanuel AME to have that happen. The second thing is that it's past time for those flags to come down, because anybody who has enough sense and wants to know some real history knows what the history of that flag is and knows how the resurgence in 48 forward after, you know, the Southern Dixiecrats split away from the Democratic Party and wanted to hold their own convention. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a real realization, especially for the people who have clung to the Confederate flag, that there's a moment you need to let go of those racist symbols. And seeing Dylann Roof posing with all these pictures with the Confederate flag and a gun and all these kinds of other poses he had and the kinds of racist things that he was saying, I think that that's made people have to have a reckoning with what they thought was just their culture and their history. I also think, too, that, you know, America is the kind of place where we don't spend a lot of time thinking about how racism has come about, why we're in the situation we're in.
I have a fear. We've been here before, related to race, related to guns, related to symbols, and we seem to focus on it for a while and then move on to something else. Is there a reason you can encourage me to say this time is different?
The difference about this is, I think, and, you know, this is State of Belief Radio, mm-hmm. is that this happened in a church,
mm-hmm.
and it happened in a black church. And no matter what you think in America, the black church is a symbol for people. Whether you're racist or not, it's a symbol. If you're racist, it's a symbol of, you know, this is a place where black people agitate. If you're Christian, this is where black people congregate because they couldn't congregate in slavery and even in freedom. Some places limited religious access.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to think that now is different in part because this happened in the church, first of all, and it happened to black people.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, because it's past time for us to have this conversation about what is going on in this nation and race.
How do you feel? Are you angry? Are you hurt? Are you sad? Are you hopeful? Are you disgusted? Are you all of that? How do you feel?
All of it. All of it and more. I've been really upset and angry. I mean, I cried the first day, and I'm not ashamed to admit that, because I teach 400 years of this very fraught history of African Americans and their religious faith in this country. And so to see nine black people get shot when all they did was go Wednesday night Bible study, like, you know, millions of people do around this country. Mm-hmm. That Bible study, that's the one thing that everybody could agree with, Wednesday night Bible study, mm-hmm. whether you're a Christian or otherwise. People know that this happens in churches all around the country on Wednesday nights. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, how much hate do you have to have for black people?
Yeah.
You go in a church, you sit with them, and you listen to the Bible study, and that doesn't even move you. And you hate them so much that you shoot them and you hurl racial epithets at them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hurt, I'm angry, I'm disappointed in my country right now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm disappointed in the sense of that I love my country so much, but these things continue to happen, and to the rest of the world, the things that we say about democracy and freedom ring hollow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I don't know how we get out of that. I would like to see us get out of this tailspin that we're in, but I don't know if we have a national resolve for that because we're so fractured.
And Theo, what else do you think it's important for our listeners, for all of us, to be thinking about in the weeks ahead in terms of this attack and the issues it's brought to the surface?
Well, I think the first thing is that if you are, you know, parents, you should talk to your children about this. And I mean this sincerely for any, whatever ethnicity or race you are, you need to talk to your children and begin to teach your children some different kind of history and to have them deal with nuance. One of the reasons why I wrote this article is that people don't seem to see what is happening. They just take things for granted. And we have to learn how to begin to think again. And I actually think there's a conversation here to be had about civic engagement. The way that Charleston has come out and come together sad it happens in a tragedy. How do we get more together in our communities and in our nation? That happens on the ground with civic engagement. Some of us have thrown off civic engagement. We're not interested in that. Mm. I think the other thing is to have a real genuine conversation about race and not be afraid to talk about that. It's difficult. It's hard work. I tell people when I teach my students that when I teach about slavery, you're either going to be mad or you're going to be sorry, or you're going to say it's not about me.
Yeah.
And all of those responses are valid, but that doesn't get to the point of what has happened because we had this history in this country. And then I think the other thing that we must do, and I say this sincerely, is that we must begin to push back on the narratives of the NRA and others who keep saying that people are coming for our guns. You know, I grew up in a family that hunts. Nobody wants to take people's guns away. What we do want is some kind of place in this country where we can begin to grapple with this issue of rampant gun violence that we have. Australia dealt with their gun problem, and it changed their nation. Why can we not do the same? Why do we have, besides the Second Amendment, we hold on to this gun thing so much as a symbol of freedom, but it's doing anything else but making us free? And then finally, and this is also really important, I think, white churches need to really get serious about racism. I think one of the things that is most disappointing to me is that so many well-meaning evangelicals and fundamentalists and others don't feel like they have to have a conversation about race. They just want everybody to come into the church and, you know, we're all going to be together and it's happy. And that homogenization is not helping our issues. It's not helping spread the gospel. It's not helping do any of the things that they want to do. As a matter of fact, it's detrimental. And I think now is the time to get serious and really begin the search. And if your church is not doing what it should, if you look around you and, you know, there's no message about this and nobody cared about it and they didn't talk about it this past Sunday, you shouldn't be in that church. You should leave. If you are a thinking, caring person and your church did not address the church shooting and did not address the issue of racism in America, you should leave that church.
Dr. Anthea Butler is a contributing editor to Religion Dispatches. She's an associate professor of religion and Africana studies at the University of Pennsylvania. We will link to her Washington Post commentary from stateofbelief.com. Dr. Butler, I thank you for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Weldon.